This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, it's gone 20 minutes before the hour 11. A bit of a ongoing situation pertaining to the disbursements of the 350 social relief of distress grants, and now a number of civil society organizations are taking government on because they are not content with some of the challenges pertaining to that. Before we get into this real challenges that have been experienced and the decision by these civil society groups to take government's head on and maybe litigate, I just want us to reflect on some of the basics based on, you know, the founding of this country, the New Republic in 1994. Well, to help us understand this particular issue, but to reflect a little bit on some of the issues I want to pose, it's Neil Coleman, Senior Policy Specialist and Founding Co-Director at Institute of Economic Justice. Neil Coleman, good morning to you. Welcome to Power.
Good morning, and thank you. It's the Institute for Economic Justice. Good morning to your listeners.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Firstly, I just want to find out, I mean, South Africa became this model of a negotiated settlement, and where we had this rich history and pedigree of being able to get around to the table, discuss issues, and come up with a consensus.
Yeah.
With this particular issue, civil society organizations and government, why is that not happening, Neil?
Yeah. Yeah, as you correctly say, that goes back to the roots of our history, the roots of our transition. What happened between 1990, when the negotiations began, and the finalization of the new constitution, and then what happened after that in terms of policies to take forward the founding values of the constitution. I was involved in the drafting and negotiation of the constitution in Parliament. I was representing the labor movement. And, one of the important provisions in the constitution requires government to ensure that every citizen or every person who needs social security has access to that social security, and that this right would be progressively realized. In other words, the government would put in place measures which ensure that over time this right was extended to more and more people. And of course, listeners will remember that, or will know very well, that there was only social security up to the COVID crisis. There was only really social security for children and for pensioners, apart from a few exceptions. Disabled people, of course, is a significant exception, but for adults aged 18 to 59, there was no provision on social grants. So with the COVID crisis, that changed, because obviously people were plunged into enormous economic hardship and hunger as a result of, something which they had no control over. And government introduced the COVID grant in 2020, the 350 Rand grant. And that was stopped and started under pressure from civil society organizations like ours. So you had a situation now where over 15 million people were applying every month for this grant, and around about 10.5 million people, it was actually 10.9 million by March this year, were getting this grant. But then once government lifted the state of disaster under which that grant was applied, then we ran into a crisis, because they hadn't put in place the necessary systems in order to make the transition.
Yeah. Well, Neil, in recent times, I mean, even on this very same platform, Power 987, we've had government representatives indicating that they've sorted up, some of the challenges. They've begun to pay the 350 rands, and they've also made arrangements in terms of retrospective payments. So why are you still expressing disquiet if government is committed to pay and also to address the backlog?
Yes, no, absolutely. They've made those statements. The Minister of Social Development in Parliament said that all back payments would be made by the middle of June. And the president said that from the middle of June, these payments would start being made. And of course, we know that hasn't happened. Not a single person who applied for the grant in April and not a single person who applied for the grant in May have been paid a single cent. They've only started paying the appeals from August to November last year, the appeals that were successful that weren't paid. And they've only now just started paying the June payments. The SASA representatives have gone public in an interview with SABC to say that the outstanding April payments will be paid in July and the outstanding May payments will be paid in August. We don't even know if that will happen because all these deadlines keep on being missed. So it means that the most desperate South Africans who have zero income at least less than 350 rand in their bank accounts, are having to wait 3 to 4 months with no access to income to buy basics such as food because SASA and the banks and government have not got their act together. So the reason that we're taking legal action is twofold. The IEJ is actually involved in two legal processes. The first is to support the Black Sash legal case, which is to say that the regulations, the new regulations that have been introduced, are aspects of them are unconstitutional and unfair because they exclude millions of people who should otherwise be receiving this grant. The reasons for that are because they're very complex processes that people have to go through to qualify. If you look at the hashtag SASA search engine, a search on Twitter, you'll see hundreds of complaints by beneficiaries who say they've been, they've come back with their June application saying self-excluded. And what that means is that the information that they provide to SASA may suggest that they have some source of income from somewhere else. So, for example, applicants who are getting child support, child maintenance, from former partners or former husbands or whatever it is, are being excluded on the basis that they are getting those support payments. Those support payments are for their children. It's not for them. So there are many, many unfair provisions that have been put in place. Most importantly, this requirement that you cannot have more than 350 rand in your account, even if that's being used to pay a funeral benefit or anything like that, you are automatically excluded. I can give you a scoop, a complete information that nobody knows publicly at this stage. And that is that we've been told that SASA has now excluded out of the June applications of a bit over 10 million, over 2 million of those applications have been rejected on the basis that people have self-excluded, have excluded themselves because of the way they've answered that. So what we can see is that if you take the minister's figures that 18 million people in South Africa live below the food poverty line, these are the people, these 18 million people, who are supposed to benefit from this grant. But currently, less than half of that number are actually benefiting from the grant. So the legal actions are intended to do two things. As I said, we're involved in two processes. The one is to strike out and amend the regulations, which our lawyers and ourselves believe are unconstitutional and unlawful. And secondly, to push the government to make sure that they pay everybody who is owed money for April, May, and June, and that they correct these processes, because the bank payments are very slow and ponderous, exclude a lot of people. And you also have the problem that government databases, like the UIF databases, a lot of people are said to be receiving UIF or to be employed, when in fact they're not, because the databases are outdated. So there are many, many issues, many, many problems which need to be addressed.
Well, Neil, in terms of the agency, we know that court processes can take some time.
Yes.
And I know that you guys have already approached the High Court in Pretoria. So have you approached them on an urgent basis? Has your case been enrolled as yet? What's the situation?
You know, and I know, and I'm sure the listeners know, that these questions of the technicalities of the legal processes are quite complex. The Black Sash, who is leading the case on the regulations, has lodged it on a semi-urgent basis. There are technical reasons as to why it had to be done in this way. So those papers have been lodged, and the government departments and who are respondents have been given, I think, 10 days, if I remember correctly, to respond, and then a further number of days to reply, to lodge their affidavits. So we're hoping that this is going to be pushed as soon as possible. On the second question of government paying the April and May grants, the letter that we have sent to the president and to DSD the day before yesterday that our lawyer sent on our behalf is an urgent, it's on an urgent basis. Because, of course, people can't wait months and months for court processes. There has to be an urgency to this. So we've said to government, look, you know, we want this matter to be dealt with urgently. But if you're prepared to engage with us to find ways to expedite the payment, in other words, to make this payment quickly, then obviously we don't need to go to court on it, because then the payments will be made. And in fact, we wrote a letter to the president yesterday suggesting particular interventions which will allow government to make these payments quickly. And what we've said is that instead of every single of these, you know, nearly 20 million applications for April and May going through the very slow bank processes, instead we need to do what's called condone those payments. In other words, people have made the applications, they've given all the information. On good faith, you need to pay all those people who applied in April and May. If there was any fraudulent applications, those can be caught through the system in good time. But why should people have to wait? Because government and the banks didn't have their systems in place. It's completely unfair, and it can result in really severe distress, including people not being able to eat because they don't have money. So from our side, court action is not a principle. We're doing it in order to achieve an objective after many, many months of trying to engage government.
Yeah.
So if they're prepared to come to the table, we're prepared to find an alternative solution, but not in relation to the regulations. The regulations must be changed. We believe they're unlawful and unconstitutional.
Okay. Including your request to meet up with the president on the 10th of June, which didn't happen.
Exactly.
And it's quite frustrating, because from time to time you hear government saying, we work with our social partners, you know, to advance whatever, you know, objectives that the government intends to achieve.
Exactly. You know, and we don't want to get into a constant confrontational situation with government, but people have rights, you know, and going back to what you're saying about the Constitution, people need to mobilize actively to claim those rights, and their rights need to be protected by institutions of state, whether it's the courts, whether it's a public protector, whether it's Parliament. And Parliament and political parties' silence on this matter has been shameful. You know, I think we need to call out our public representatives to say, you know, what are you doing in the face of this crisis that people are facing? You know, instead they're more interested in political shenanigans and infighting, which is really not, doesn't do any, tribute to our democratically elected representatives on this matter.
Let me go to Sasha Nguve. Welcome. Togozani, welcome.
Hey, Marie, how are you?
Fine, how are you, sir?
I'm good. You see, this thing, I don't know how to do, because I checked my status yesterday. I found it about...
Togozani, we're going to try and get you on a different line. Apologies about that. The line is breaking badly, so we're going to try and call back. But Neil, here is an issue, because we can be dealing with this situation now, which is a current problem of payments and stuff.
Sure.
But the bigger problem that has been identified and also pronounced by Statistician General to say that the payment of social grants, it is not sustainable, considering that our economy is stagnant. We are not doing well from the economic point of view. When you deal with these issues as civil society, you know, groups, and also maybe in your fortunate moments where you can engage government, Are you entertaining such concerns that the issue of paying grants is not sustainable for this country?
No, absolutely. And thanks for raising that question. You know, we met with the president in January this year, the Civil Society Coalition, and we presented some research which had been done by, amongst others, the Institute for Economic Justice, but also, quote, you know, drawing on international evidence. And what that evidence shows is that there's no contradiction between providing social security and income for the people who need it in society and the issue of economic development. And in fact, if anything, it helps to stimulate economic development. So a lot of pilots which have been done internationally in countries like Kenya and Namibia and many, you know, other countries both in the south and the north have shown that when you put money in people's pockets, what happens is you generate economic activity in local communities. People are buying products, you know, which are produced, you know, from hawkers in the informal economy and from local industry. And therefore, it actually assists to promote employment. And people, what research shows, including in South Africa, is that once people get the money, it helps them to become more active in the labor market. But of course, the problem you have now is there's no employment for people. So people who are saying, well, you shouldn't be providing grants, you should be giving people jobs, are just not confronting the realities which we face. And the president was very responsive to the point that we made, which is that to provide basic income is a high-impact intervention, which has an immediate impact both on people's lives in the poorest communities as well as broader economic activity in those areas. And that things like the infrastructure programs, the jobs programs, and so on, take some years to begin to have an impact. So you really need to look at a combination, you know, of these high-impact social protection measures together with a job strategy. So we don't claim in civil society that a basic income or grants are a silver bullet or that they resolve the problems. Not at all. They need to be combined with an overall development strategy.
It's gone 3 minutes before the hour, 11 o'clock. I'm in conversation with Neil Coleman. Neil, just unfortunately, Thokozani's line was not that good, but basically sure. He was saying he is supporting the court action.
Right.
Yeah. So, but like you say, it is not the end and all of it. If there can be a move from government to sit around the table and thresh this out, that's the option that we'll prefer.
That's right. And I think that, you know, one of the problems is that, you know, millions of people, again, if you look at Twitter, the tweets from people on social media who have not been getting their grants, they, you know, we're talking here not about a small number of people. We're talking about, you know, over 10 million people. And if each of those 10 million people have maybe two dependents, then you're talking to about up to 30 million of the South African population who are affected by this. So this is virtually half the South African population. But people are marginalized and are demobilized and demoralized. And it's very important that people now begin to speak out, because the court action by itself will not succeed. People need to speak up, and there needs to be mobilization by organizations. And we are very happy yesterday that at our press conference, the labor movement, in particular SAFTA and COSATU, came out strongly in support of these demands. So we hope in coming weeks that we'll also begin to see people coming out in their numbers to raise their concerns about this issue.
Indeed. Well, Neil Coleman, we got to thank you very much for your perspective on these issues. So we'll keep watching what are the developments, particularly from government side.
Many thanks. Appreciate the interview.
Okay. There we have it. Neil Coleman, the senior policy specialist and founding co-director at the Institute of Economic Justice. So he's saying that if government can meet them, and then they can thresh things out. And the question that I asked in the beginning, it is of absolute importance, because we are losing steam in terms of our ability to sit around the table and negotiate and come out with a consensus and do things. And like I said, you keep on hearing this emphasis from government officials from time to time that they are a consultative government. They take views of social partners on board. But we have to deal once more with very strong challenges that we face, or the realities, because the issue of paying grants, it is not sustainable. That is the reality. So, but if you don't create opportunities within the economy, it's going to be problematic.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.